Good morning. It's Tuesday.
I love it.
Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina and I am coming in hot.
I don't know why that always makes me laugh. You just deliver it with such like panache. I'm Jen and I'm checking in so I don't check out.
Yes. Today's episode is the power of no. So we're going to be getting into some heavy conversations here. So let's jump right into it. Jen, let's talk about these. Let me get your temperature check and let's talk about boundary temperatures.
First of all, I just realized now that the power of no sounds so close to the power of now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm. Have you read the book, The Power of Now?
Have I?
I've read it like four times.
Have I? I told you, I used to read it high and drunk, like on the daily.
So we get it. We get it.
And that, I don't think I did get it.
I think I need to bring that out of storage. I can't wait to get all my books out of storage because that's one I would love to revisit right now.
It's so good.
In this headspace, like it's so great to reread a book when you're in different seasons of your life because it's like the information goes through different filters and I feel like the revelations are different when that happens. That's why I like to revisit my books at different seasons.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, so the power of no. What's your boundary temperature check this morning?
So I never think about this question until the exact moment you ask it to me, because I somehow always just go into a blackout in between when we say what the topic is and then when we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
My boundary temperature, do I want to go oven temp or weather temp? I think I'm going to go with 295.
Mm.
It's on its way. My boundary temperature in the past has been basically the oven's off. Like I didn't have any boundaries. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really, really long journey for me to try to establish healthy boundaries. So in short, I spent the majority of my life catching resentments against people because they violated my non-existent boundaries.
My gosh, we're twins, but go ahead.
But this might not be you, I'm going to warn you. When I wished to reinforce where the boundary should be, it actually would be grating against my people-pleasing. So one example, there was this woman who came, I didn't know her very well, and she basically sort of presented herself into my life, but via other people by kind of telling me what I should do with a situation in my life. And it was totally not her place. And I also didn't even know her that well. And I was really resentful against her because you don't know me. And also you have no, like, why are you getting involved in, and it's not even in my business. It had to do with someone that I was in relation to, someone that I was helping.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of saying to other people that she really thinks I should be taking this approach instead of this approach. You know, it's, so boundaries is not a cut and dry thing for me because part of this is that I have to look at it and I always have to think, okay, what here is actually mine kind of thing? Like one thing that is mine that's just kind of, I'm just thinking out loud, but when I'm revisiting that situation in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what could possibly be a piece that does belong to me? And the piece that does belong to me is that I'm hypersensitive to being criticized.
Okay.
So when she is saying to, and to being gossiped about,
mm-hmm.
That's a big, I don't want to say trigger, but that, if I was like a cat, you know how like the hair on the back of your, like on the their back, it's raised?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm sensitive to that. I, yeah. Like all women, grew up in a middle school where people talked about me and I talked mm-hmm. about other people and it hurts. So that and then just my own perfectionism has led me to be so hypersensitive to any perceived criticism. So I'm now on the defense against her. But also she was being nosy and inappropriate. And that's not mine either. Like, this is not your purview. And you have nothing to do with the situation. So I don't know why you're going around like putting your two cents. Like, it was like annoying, you know. But the problem was that I have no boundaries. So I didn't know how to say buzz off, you know, like,
yeah,
just to protect my own space and to not let her sort of like bleed into my realm and my energy sphere and my well-being. So of course my whole area got polluted because I didn't have boundaries energetically even with her. And so I had to be talked through this situation with my spiritual advisor, who basically said, you need to take everything you're saying to me and you need to tell it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to, and I'm going to help you to find a way to word it. So instead of saying, you are this, I'm going to use the words, I'm observing this. Because this person had a real pattern of this type of interference. So, and I said, okay, great. I'm going to craft the perfect text message to her. And she's like, nah. You're going to call her. I know, I'm like still avoiding, right? And then she's like, no, you're going to call her on the phone. And I was like, all right, because she is my spiritual advisor. So I'm going to take her suggestion and I'm going to call her on the phone. But first I had to get to a place of grace. So for me, getting to a place of grace means I need to write you like 100 hate mails into my text message notes first, just to like get all that out of me. I don't know why. It just takes me a couple of days to get past the resentment. Like I first have to be like typing all my thoughts into my phone notes and like, you know, being bitter about the situation so I can let that work through me. I don't know why I have to do that. I just have to get that out of my system first before I can come to a place of grace. And then when I finally did come to the place of grace, then I was able to confer with this person to figure out how to word this. But the words I said to her when I texted her and said, can we have a phone call? And when we got on the phone, I said, the reason why I'm contacting you and why I wanted to have this conversation is because I'm angry. I'm feeling angry. I'm having, you know, in because of this. And then I used all the words she said. I've observed this. I am observing this. Where I'm coming from is I don't really feel like it's your place to be putting your commentary in terms of my relationship with someone, which both of our lives have nothing to do with you, and not only saying it actually, I don't remember whether she even said it to me. I know she was talking about with other people. And it ended up being such a great conversation because she totally just heard me out and let me say everything I needed to say. And then I heard her out and she explained where she was coming from. And she was just coming from essentially being taught something else. And she was also just coming from a place of concern, but she was coming from a different ideology than me, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, after we had this conversation, we agreed to disagree and then hung up the phone peaceably. And she texted me later and said, that was one of the biggest growth conversations I've ever had in my life. And thank you for approaching me like that. And we've been, you know, I wouldn't say that we're close, but I would say that we have a mutual respect. So we've been, I don't know, on a level of honesty ever since.
Right. I get that.
It was a growth moment for both of us, and that was incredible. But I think I have a lot to say about boundaries, but I guess my boundaries are getting healthier through experiences like that, through experiences of realizing that sometimes I have to sort of work out how I want to deal with something. I have to hold that up to my own value system. So for me, oftentimes I have to take it away and sort of let that sit with me for a while. Because in that situation, I actually spoke with two different people. Initially, I spoke with my sponsor and my spiritual advisor, and they both had exactly opposite advice. One person was like, don't engage. And the other one person was like, call her and tell her what you're thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take that back with me into my heart and sit with that for a few days and think about who in this situation, who do I want to be more like? Because I'm someone who models my behavior after things I see out in the world that I like. So in this case, I liked that assertiveness and I wanted to embody that.
Right.
So I chose that way of being instead of do not engage. Like I chose like the courage to change the things you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if I changed anything ultimately, but I know that she was extremely responsive to it and felt, I think in that moment, we both felt transformed by it. So it's like a really long-winded answer because I think I'm still working on boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I place boundaries in the highest esteem. I want boundaries. When I see women who have boundaries, I really respect them and I want that for me, but I don't think I have strong boundaries. Like my life has been characterized by just inviting whoever into my life, into a really close and intimate position in my life, no credentials needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had boundaries. I've just been operating pretty fast and loose with that for 40 years. So It's something that's really new for me. So I guess my temperature is kind of like that oven, like the oven's preheating. It's not even at 350 yet.
So I 100% agree. We always talk about how we're walking these parallel lives or existences. And this to me is just another example of that for different reasons though, but parallel nonetheless. So my boundary temp is like a three-part answer. One, the temperature is about the same, 290 up to my 350, right? 290 degrees up to my normal 350. But I'm 10 years older than you.
That delights me. That's okay.
That I'm 10 years older than you. So here's the thing. So first, I agree with you that the boundary conversation is just a multifaceted conversation. It's just that. It's not like a, you know, just a lateral thing or a binary thing. You know what I mean? It has so many layers that it can be fun. It can be good. You can feel like you've graduated. You can feel like you've leveled up. And then there are challenges at the newest level. So for me, and then I want to tell the story about how you expressed a new boundary with me just since we've been doing this work. I thought it was so amazing that you called me and you taught. We were registering. We were talking about registering the business. We had the meeting with the registration company, and then I'm so used to being a solopreneur or being the solo person in charge or being the solo decision maker that in that phone call I made the decision. Yep, as soon as we're done, I'm going to do this and that and blah, 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 blah. And then you called me the next morning and you were like, hey, so on that phone call, and then you just told me how you felt. I didn't even realize that I had completely disregarded you. I had not even come to the consciousness that I have to learn, because these are things that are not in my vocabulary, I have to learn to say, let me discuss this with my partner and I'll give you a call back. I hadn't learned that language yet. So when you called me the next day and said, hey, can we talk about this? Because I was a little bothered by that. And it was 100% valid. You were 100% accurate. And it was, to me, a great example of setting a boundary, because this is a new version of our relationship. And we don't want to start it with one person bulldozing over another in this new venture. So I just thought that was a great example of the power of no and how powerful it is, because it actually, that gave me the opportunity to say, I am so sorry because I did not see that. And you are absolutely right. 100% right. I did that. And I'm so used to doing that. And thank you for bringing that to my attention early so that this doesn't become a thing in this new section of our relationship, right?
Well, let me just respond to that piece first.
Okay.
Because I want to say one thing about that, which is that when you said you hadn't even seen that, like you hadn't even had that consciousness, you and me both, sister, because the thing is that when it was even happening, like I'm such a delayed processor mm-hmm. that it's like when it was happening, I wasn't even seeing it either. And I don't even think I called you the next day. I think I called you like 3 days later. Like
oh, okay.
I called you later because like I said, it always takes me 3 days to metabolize certain experiences. Like so much of me wishes I was one of those people that could just come out hot. Like, hey, that was the wrong thing to do. You know, like I see those people. I know those people are fundamentally different than me because I'm just a delayed processor. I wish I could be one of those people that stands up for something in the moment, but I'm not. It takes me like a long time where I'm sort of like, something's bothering me. What's bothering me? And then I'm almost like talking to myself, that was okay, right? That was okay. And then I'll be like, I'm still not feeling right about that. And then I'll finally be like, oh, I guess that's bothering me. Like, I don't know why I'm like so slow. And then after that, usually once I realize what it is, I want to get that off my chest right away. I want to talk to somebody. I need to say that out loud now because I don't want to be feeling some type of way towards you. So I called you basically as soon as I finally woke up to it and talked about it. But your response was so utterly gracious. Like you, just even the way you're talking about it now, where it's just like, oh yeah, I see that. I didn't see that. And I knew you didn't see it. And I knew that you also are just used to operating solo. And so for me, it was just more about let's have a meeting of the minds because that did bother me and I don't want this going forward. But the thing that I struggle with, which we can return to later, is if you had had a bad reaction to that. So you were just really gracious and understanding about it. And we have been setting that precedent with our relationship that anybody can say anything and it's a judgment-free zone and we'll try to be responsive to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had been like, wow, I disagree. And then, or if you had gotten really upset, that's where I would have really, really struggled. Not because I don't think I'm right, because I do think I'm right that as business decisions, they have to be mutual, but because I now can't sit with your upsetness because I'm such a people pleaser. So that's like what I mean when it's like, I try to set these boundaries, but what has been the pushback on it is my own kind of challenge that I have of that approval seeking and that people pleasing. It would be really hard for me to let you sit in your reaction if you were really upset with me. But back to the temp check. So thank you for being so receptive. I really, really appreciate that because you make it easy to be confrontational.
And thank you for bringing it to my attention. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. We're the best.
We are. We're really great.
We love each other. We're healthy. We're adults.
But the boundary conversation for me has been a lifelong thing because growing up in a domineering household, I didn't have a voice. So what happened was when I figured out how strong I was as a teenager and a young adult, I went from not having a voice at all to becoming a bully. So no was going to tell me anything. You don't tell me, I tell you, right? Because I've seen
one extreme to the next.
I went from one spectrum, one part of the spectrum to the other polar opposite, right? And so it's taken about 30 years for me to find a balance to land in the middle. And I still don't think I'm in the middle because I'm still a little bit. So I actually vacillate between not speaking up when I'm supposed to. So just imagine I went many years destroying relationships like this, where a person would offend me, I wouldn't say anything. The person would offend me again, I wouldn't say anything. It would happen five more times. By the time I by the time it happened between the 7th and the 10th time, and it could be something so minor, like you didn't return my call or you didn't show up when we had a meeting and I'm sitting here looking stupid, that when I would go off, and when I went off, the punishment didn't fit the crime. And so now I've just poured,
let it fester.
I've just planted TNT and lit it on the bridge of our relationship, and now it's destroyed and we can't cross back over it again to save anything. And so because, and I've seen that happen to me over and over and over again, but I always end up looking like the crazy one because the person didn't know, they didn't have the awareness to know. Either they knew and didn't care or didn't know at all that they had offended me. And some of the offenses were great and egregious, right? And so There will be these offenses, and I'm just irritated, like, you have zero respect for me. You have zero respect for my time. You have zero respect for my business. You have zero respect for my family. You have zero respect for who I am as a person and what I'm putting out in the world. Like, so there was always these things, but everything centered around me and not having compassion for the other person. And so then there was the blow up. But like I said, the punishment never fit the crime. So I've destroyed many relationships like that. Then, so I would either not say anything and go off, or I would speak up too quickly before I did what you've done and processed. So there is, I think, great power in processing, because when you process, and then when you have, the Bible says there is like blessing and wise counsel. So when you have those your spiritual counselor, you know, different people that you can speak to and get their opinions, as well as processing that and taking it and determining, okay, well, this is my perspective on what happened, considering all these other things, this is how I want to approach this and this is how I want to solve it. And I love what you said about getting all the negativity out. That's a great tool, getting all the negativity out so that you can even approach the conversation from a place of grace. I've never done that. I've never done that. When I'm offended, even on the egregious side, I'm very confrontational. So then when the confrontation happens, especially when I know I'm right, I have a tendency to go hard in your face, right? Especially when I know I'm right. So there was an offense that happened in my family. It has been a lot of stuff in my family, as you can see. But there was an offense. And then when you mess with my kids, it's like you have just branded a bear. And then you're standing around waiting for the bear's reaction. And I'm the bear. So so an offense happened in my family a few years ago with my youngest child. And it was a family thing. A couple of family members just really, really hurt my kid. And Mama Bear came to the rescue, honey. And my child is grown. All my children are grown, but my child is grown, right? But the way I handled it, even though I was right, was wrong, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then what I did, because I was so right, I forwarded my text message to all the family members. Like, so when they come and tell you what I did, here is exactly what I said, because I can tell my story better than anyone else can. You
know? Ego.
So,
alert.
Gosh.
Ego alert.
So how about a year ago, that same child that was offended by the family had a revelation that said, you know how I see this family member as if they're trapped in their own body and they don't mean to be as hurtful to us. It's like they're trapped in their own circumstances.
She knows not what
and
she
their
does.
Own trauma and their own pain and their own stuff. And they really deep down love us, but they can't express it because they have their own issues that they need to be working through. But instead of working through it, it comes out as pain for us. And that's why we choose not to engage. But what that made me do, and this came out of the mouth of babes, girl, because that came from the youngest child, the one that was offended by this person. So, but what it made me do was look upon that family member with a little bit of compassion, because I was so right. Am I going off, honey? I was just never going to engage again. And I said what I said, right? But that allowed me to have compassion where I can now, at the very least, put up a prayer. While I still have zero desire to engage, I can pray for you. I can walk through my forgiveness practices. I can. So this boundary thing is, it's, I feel like it's one of those things that we'll probably do all of our lives, because it's different with lovers. It's different with family members. It's different with friends. It's different with coworkers. It's different with business associates. I just
and
feel
it's
like
different with the same boundaries. Like it could be this boundary for this person and not that boundary for this person. It could be this boundary now and not this boundary 1 year from now. It could be this boundary in this situation and not that boundary in a different situation.
I agree.
So they're fluid.
I agree 100%. So I love that we're still walking these parallel existences, though, because
it's so it's so interesting that for me to hear you say that, because you did not mind rocking the boat with that family situation. You were like, here's how right I am. I'm going to have the last word. That type of woman, actually, to be completely honest with you, scares me. I have an aunt like that who's utterly tribal. If you mess with her, if you mess with her friend, if you met, like, she will take her earrings off and sharpen her nails and shred you up. She is a primal, you know, whatever. I mean, hopefully she never listens to this. Sorry. but she scares me, okay? So that type, I hate to say that type of person because that sounds so like judgmental, but whenever I have encountered people the way that you are describing yourself to be right now, I'm scared of that person, because I guess it's just scary to think about being on the receiving end of that type of wrath. It feels like there's no humanity there. And I think I have been like that in the past. I don't want to also excuse myself from that type of behavior, because I think I've operated many times as hurt people hurt people. I think I've been that person in middle school. I think I've been that person in high school. I've probably been that person even more recently. So I never want to say, you know, when I see some type of behavior, I don't ask myself, have I ever done that? I just ask, when have I ever done that? Because I know I have. I just have to figure out, when have I done it? So I've been that person for sure. I used to just do whatever and not care. But then when I sort of woke up spiritually, all of a sudden I was like, what am I doing here? Am I okay? Are you okay? Like, I was like more sensitive and more aware. So then that's when I started suffering from this people-pleasing thing. When I was operating in complete selfishness, I didn't think about that. I just did whatever I wanted all the time. But when I woke up, I was like, oh, how do I engage with the world? And so I would never be capable of just putting someone in their place like that. I would have thought that you would have had really strong boundaries, because things you've said to me in the past, like, I have kids now, right? So if someone were to hurt my child, I actually don't even trust myself that I would have that mama bear, that I would come out against them, because of what I had just said about the delayed processing, about the people pleasing. I want to be that person who goes after the person who hurts my child, but some part of me is scared that I would be like more, not that it would ever be okay if someone did that, but I don't think I would have that initial anger response in the moment. It's just not in my nature. You know? So I think, I guess I wonder about, is something missing in me that I can't step out and defend what I know to be right in a real time way? Why am I so slow to process? You know?
And so here's the thing. I don't necessarily, there were parts of this that I used to wear as a badge of honor. But it's really sad. The sad part about that badge of honor is, I don't know if you remember a couple episodes we talked about survival mode, not benefiting you anymore. So there was a time when, as a single mom, I envisioned myself, like, if I was walking down a street, so imagine living in the hood, right? And there are all kinds of various people, and there are all kinds of dangers. The danger could be a bulldog that someone's raising in the neighborhood. The danger could be someone that wants to push up on you and you're trying to protect these three kids. You know, all these different things, right? There are so many things that can happen. And so your head is on a swivel. You're not ever able to relax and be, you're so present and hypersensitive and hyper-aware that you're not able to relax in the moment because there's so much of you that is alert. And so that hypersensitivity and that hyper-awareness kind of came out to where I remember having this vision, like if I'm walking down the street with my three toddlers, my toddler and my, you know, maybe a baby, a toddler and a slightly bigger child. We're walking down the street. I have one on my hip and the two are holding hands. You know, I'm holding the hand of one. And if a bulldog came down the street, I would kill that bulldog with my bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how I always thought. But now that's sad because if I had grown up in a protected environment and then I was like married and had a protector in the home, that protector hat I would have never had to wear. Does that make sense? And then I could have relaxed more into motherhood, relaxed more into relationships. Remember we talked about in my marriage how I felt like I had on all these hats and all I was looking forward to was releasing half of them. And one of them was the protection hat. You know what I mean? I don't want to be a protector anymore. I want to be the protected species for a change, you know? And
you wanna let your guard down.
I want to be able to. I don't want to have my head on a swivel when I'm in a relationship because I know that this person is here to protect me and that person is willing to put everything on the line to make sure that I'm okay, you know? And so that's just a luxury that I've never had. So while I'm proud of the fact that I was able to keep my children alive, you know, protect them from all the, you know, inclement dangers, you know, of, you know, growing and maturing and all the things, and even the things that come to break their spirits, you know, I wanted to protect my children from, because I felt like that was one of the main things that was attempted with me, even me and my brother that's up right under me, that we were so, our personalities, our beliefs, and everything about us was so big that was intimidating to people who were governing us, you know? Mm. And so instead of them wanting to see that thrive and blossom, they wanted to break that. And that was something that it was a threat for them. And so I wasn't going to have that. And then when I see that being attempted on my child, I came out with claws out. I will kill anybody. You know, you will not break my kid's spirit. I'm sorry. You know, it's a thing that I'm proud of, but it also makes me very sad. So I would love to be in this season where I don't have to operate from that space, you know, where someone else. And so there was something else that happened recently, and I think I mentioned this before, where there was a spat between me and a close friend of mine, and you were so compassionate. You were like, "Oh, well, it sounds like she's going through a lot, and we'll just give up prayers." And I needed that so badly. I needed that balance to me wanting to protect and me wanting to be right, because that was the very thing. Your beautiful, peaceful, even like how you call it, the slow to process thing, but you just said something very sweet and say, "Oh, sounds like she's going through a lot and we're going to send up prayers for her." That was so sweet to me. And that, it's almost like that leveled out the beast that wanted to fight being right.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's so funny that you keep saying that I said, "I'll send up prayers," or I can never see myself saying something like that.
You said something like, "Oh, I'll send up prayers for her." Like basically sent like peaceful thoughts. I felt like I interpreted it as peaceful thoughts, but you said it to me as prayers, you know.
Really?
Huh. But, yeah.
I usually don't say that word. Interesting.
Yeah, so, but it was such a great thing because it was what I needed to hear in the moment. And I feel like God knew that I needed to hear that in the moment, because what it did was it took me off of the defensive, which makes me go on the offensive, you know?
I think we all have a tendency to take things really personally.
Mm-hmm.
If something like that had happened to me, my first reaction would still be the same. It would be, you know, you're infringing upon me or stepping on me. You know, it would be me. That would still always be my first instinct, I think, forever. Just I can't control my thoughts. That just, it would hit right on my ego. But also, it's been really beaten into me. And I genuinely believe that if somebody is behaving a certain type of way that is toxic or unhealthy or aggressive or angry, they are sick.
Mm-hmm.
People who behave that way are not happy people. So I mean sick in the sense of spiritually sick. Mm-hmm. And anger is so toxic to me, as is judgment. I'm just not a person who can metabolize a lot of uncomfortable emotions. So for me, it's better to not get up on my high horse about somebody. It's better for me not to become angry. I can't afford it. I cannot afford it. The price tag is too high for me. Mm-hmm. It robs me of my serenity. So the way that I was taught to look at it is to cheerfully grant that person the kindness that I would to any sick person, meaning a physically sick person, is just to right away, as soon as possible, because I will not go to compassion right away, but as soon as I can, the best. And of course, it's easier seeing you engage with someone. If it was me, I think it would have been my second reaction, not my first, you know? But as soon as I can, to try to get to a place of compassion of, oh, they must really be going through something, because I just do not believe that happy people behave that way. I think what's on the inside comes out. So if I'm seeing something coming out that's disturbing, they're disturbed, you know?
That's a good way to look at it.
So then I do feel compassionate to that, because God knows I've been disturbed. I've been disturbed like my whole life. So then it just comes right back around to, when have I done that? When have I felt that way? When have I acted like that? When? Not have I.
When have I?
When have I? I have. I know I have. You know, I'm just like everybody else. So it's so funny, because now that you're saying that, I just would have put you almost on a pedestal as someone who has way stronger boundaries than me. So it's so interesting to hear you speak about them with such humility. It's really cool to hear that we're all still on this journey. Like, what do they
Absolutely.
Say? They say the two things that they never teach you in school that they should is personal finance and boundaries. Have you heard that?
I've heard that.
Why wasn't I taught either of those things? And I still don't understand either of them. And I'm in my 40s. Like, where was that class, that elective in college or in high school, or that class in middle school, you know? But something that really helped me. So I think I have spoken before about how who I call my spiritual advisor, she's like a mentor to me. And she's someone who's sunk a lot of time into essentially single-handedly rebuilding my self-worth. And I do mean single-handedly. Like, she just like, I've never had a mentor like you. I've never had a teacher who took a shine to me, even though I was Little Miss Perfect, straight A plus student. I never had somebody who sort of took me under their wing, you know, and that hurt me on such a deep level. It made me feel such a sense of like rejection and unworthiness, that no one would see me as this shining star. Like, I really so deeply empathize with you when you were talking about how you presented yourself to this relative and said, like, please take me in, please help me grow, please help me learn. And they were just like, they just passed you by. I felt like that my whole life. And I always wanted a mentor, but I never had the guts to ask someone or to even present myself in a way of having willingness. I just think I was so guarded. It wasn't, you know, it's by design that almost in a way that nobody ever came to save me, because I wasn't available to be saved. So it was like I was I wasn't really there for it. I was really prickly and kind of pushed people away and stuff too. So I think, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. So this person came into my life, and the biggest thing that, the biggest impact off the top of my head that she had on me is that she asked me, what are your values? And just like with the long-term life plan, I looked into my mind's eye and I saw a blank. And that really made an impact on me because actually it wasn't blank. My first thought was honesty, but then my second thought was, oh, did I get the wrong answer? Is honesty a value? I better look that up. Is honesty a value? Is it a virtue? Like, I thought I was like, so I was like more scared of getting the wrong answer by choosing something that wasn't a value, as if I'm back in school again and now I'm scared of this criticism or punishment or whatever of like, you're not good enough or you're not smart enough. Like, I don't know. It was just weird that I've carried that with me into my adulthood. What if I get the wrong answer? Wrong answer in what?
Right.
If it resonates with you.
By whose standards?
Exactly. By whose standards? Kind of only my standards matter when it comes to my own personal development. So that was a, you know, sort of a throwback, a relic of my childhood. But what I did after that is I went and I did look it up because I, more so just because I wanted to sort of let things wash over me. And I looked up, what are values? Give me a whole list and I'll tell you what resonates with me. I'm good within parameters when it comes to an assignment. So I had some that just jumped right out to me and they were actually pretty out there. Like work-life balance, I wouldn't have initially thought that was a value. And yet I've constructed my entire life around the idea of work-life balance. I would never work more hours for more money. And it's been like that forever. So obviously that is one of my values because I've been like that since I entered the workforce. And maybe that sounds, you know, I'm a hard worker when I'm at work, but I don't desire to work 60 hours a week, you know, for the goal of money at least. Maybe it'd be different if I found something I was incredibly passionate about. But work-life balance, honesty was right up there, compassion, and then the two other ones that I found myself really gravitating towards, and the way I knew that I cared about them was boundaries and confidence. And the reason why I knew that those were values for me is because I am really drawn to them in other people. So when I do meet a woman who has strong boundaries, I think I want that. When I meet a woman who's really genuinely confident, which I hate to say I don't meet those women very often, but when I do, I'm so drawn to that. I want that, you know?
I always used to say that one of the sexiest things a woman can put on is confidence.
Heck yeah, man.
I believed that my whole life.
Yeah, when you see a woman who's just in charge of herself and who can give of herself freely, you know, it's not just about being arrogant. It's about just being self-possessed. And then also, I think about also helping people from that place, you know, even if it's just by being a shining light or whatever it is you are, putting good energy out there. But so when I set down those initial values, then I did a writing exercise to see which ones do I feel like I'm living up to and which ones do I feel like I'm falling short of. So I do feel like I'm living up to honesty and compassion, but I don't feel like I'm living up to boundaries and confidence. And I just wrote a little bit about where I'm at with each one because those are the gold standards for me, but that doesn't necessarily mean my actions are matching them or living up to them. And then I heard about this concept of integrity, where the definition of integrity is that actions match values. And I realized that this is a patchwork for me because I think I'm more confident now than when I was doing this exercise. But when I'm saying I really value confidence, but my actions are not showing confidence or embodying confidence, that means that in that area, I'm not living with integrity. So I'm not experiencing a sense of wholeness because inner doesn't match outer. And it's the same thing with boundaries. So for boundaries, I have to be, you know, walking the walk. I can't just be talking the talk. I have to call that person to tell them that this is bothering me. I have to be living in accordance with my values if I'm to feel any sense of wholeness or integrity. But something that was a concept that was just introduced to me an hour ago. I was speaking again with my spiritual advisor on the phone because I was saying, you know, tell me about boundaries. Tell me what you think about boundaries. Because she's just this really interesting, brilliant person. And I wanted to pick her brain. And she said something that was incredible. She said, a boundary is not a requirement. It's a request. So meaning when it comes to other people, so when it comes to my relationship, I can say, I don't want you to do this, but that's a request. They don't have to follow my boundary. Mm-hmm. And then she was basically saying that boundaries can also be used in a way to manipulate people. Meaning I am going to say that I'm setting a boundary, but really what I'm doing is I'm saying I want to control how you behave. And that's my biggest, one of my biggest character defects is that I think I know how other people should behave.
So here is the thing, how I feel. Can I respond to that?
Please do.
Because how I feel is you have a boundary for your life. Like I'm going to use one on the extreme where I'm not going to be in a relationship where my partner cheats on me, right? And so for me, yes, boundaries are a request, but their response, your partner's response to that request informs your next actions.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And so for me, it's a request, but there are hard lines
Absolutely.
For me. And when you've set those hard lines and that person respects you, see, for me, when I was younger, when I was in middle school, I knew who I was. I was the girl, this is so funny. I was wearing kitten heels in middle school. You know, everybody wore Vans and...
What is a kitten heel? Because you know I have no knowledge of shoes.
The small heel, the tiny heel, girl.
Is it like a little stiletto or is it like a little platform or does it not matter?
No, it's a heel, but it's like a heel that a kid wears. It's like the heel on the back of the shoe, but it's not big enough to cuss a cat. Like
is it
it's
thick
small.
Or thin?
It's thin, but it was funny looking. Like we have to Google kitten heels
for
you and I'll send you a picture.
No, I'm gonna do it.
But so here I am, the person wearing lipstick and kitten heels in middle school. So I was like, I knew who I was. Girl, please. I was wearing lipstick and kitten heels. So I knew who I was, but I was very different from a lot of the other people. And so that being said, I was confident in who I was.
Heel.
You see it?
Yeah.
You see the kitten heel?
I've never owned one, but I know it. Yeah,
so that was my introduction,
it's a stiletto,
right?
Yeah.
But I also was a defender of the underdog. So I could not stand. So one thing about me, going back to our original conversation where we were talking about like that protector, what I've never been is a person that starts mess. Like I don't bother anybody. I don't, you know, initiate arguments. Never. I'm not that person. I'm pretty happy-go-lucky. I'm a happy person, right? Just don't mess with me or mine, and we're fine. The world is great. Your world will be great, right? And I can't stand to see people taken advantage of. So if I see that or if I witness that, you can best believe I'm going to jump in. I'm going to have something to say and I'll fight the whole playground if I have to, you know, to protect this person that can't defend themselves. Yeah. And so I just think that the boundary conversation is, like you said, it's a request, but it informs. I cannot stand to see women treated as doormats because in their relationship, it's almost as if they're not allowed to set a boundary. And for me, I feel like it says more about you than it does about your partner. Because when you set this boundary, like you're not going to cheat on me, one thing I'm not going to do is have someone cheat on me, and then they cheat and you do nothing, right? Then the message that you're sending is it's okay. I feel, my opinion, IMO, is you're sending a message that I know I said that, but it's okay. I'm not that person.
Yeah.
If I set this boundary for myself and you violate it, again, that informs my next action. And my next action is, we can talk about this, and it depends on, you know, if this was an egregious thing, like you're just like, hey, this is just what I'm going to do, or you made me feel that way and I didn't have anything else to do but go and fall into something else, you know? So, I'm out, because what I'm seeing is you have no impulse control. We couldn't talk about the situation before, or you had no counselors available to you. Where's your wise counsel that kept you from ruining the relationship that you said was so important to you? So for me, it's a no. You know, I gotta go. But I feel like it's not about the other person. It's more about you.
I think that does go back to your values, though. If you haven't identified your values, or if you're not able to live up to your values, that's what might cause a situation like that. So, for example, if I have a very strong value of self-respect, which I feel like I do, but then I'm in a situation with someone, so I'll in one example, I was in a relationship with someone one time who, when they got drunk, they talked down to me. Like, they just turned ugly when they drank a certain amount of alcohol. And in that situation, I was like, bye, because I was just like, that is not for me. But then I've been in others. So it's like, okay, so that's a boundary, right? And in that situation, I acted for some reason. I don't even know why. Just in that situation, it was just really easy for me to be like, you're gone. I don't remember what. I wasn't even in a good place. I wasn't even in a place where I had a lot of self-respect. It just, in that moment, I was like, this isn't for me. But then in more recent times, there's definitely been situations where I'm thinking and saying, I don't like the way you're talking to me, and I find this disrespectful, but my next move has not been to leave, you know? And it's been a different situation. And then I don't think it's necessarily that, you know, I don't have self-respect, but it's been a tricky. It's just trickier, I think, when you're in a, like, especially in a long-term relationship, because both parties can act in ways that are disrespectful. Like, my way of being disrespectful is more like subtle manipulation. Is that holier than, you know, getting angry and losing your temper? Not necessarily. And so I think when it comes to, you know, I don't have the answers here, right? Because my value is this, and then I'm also recognizing that this other person has their own free will and their own autonomy. And it's not, you know, at what threshold do you say, okay, you're not complying with what I said is my requirement, but it's for your own personal reasons. You know, it's not necessarily a me problem. But should I be fluid with this boundary because either there's a willingness on both of our parts to work on it, or there's been this progress, which has been leading me to think that this might become better? Like, you know, whatever it is, I think for me, at least in my current incarnation of myself, willingness means a lot. Obviously, willingness does have to be backed up by action, but I know that I've been guilty of saying and doing things, not necessarily intentionally, but that have hurt my partner, but that the only reason that it matters, my level of responsiveness to that. So if someone else says, like, that thing is unacceptable to me, there's a gray area of responsiveness where if I can say, okay, you know, I recognize that this behavior that I did or that you did was hurtful, but that there's this willingness to be responsive to that and address that and try to work on that, I can soften my boundaries in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it still gets to me when it happens again, but also people don't change overnight. So I can say that in the long term, there's been, you know, a ton of progress made on both of our parts, but I think it's just the hardest for me in relationships because when you're with someone day in and day out and you're both bringing this whole, you know, all of your past baggage into the relationship, a lot of things are happening where you're stepping on each other's toes and you're violating each other's boundaries. And my boundary is a wish for how I wish for you to behave. It's not always going to be something that is going to, you know, there are, of course, hard boundaries. But I think actually, Bettina, this is like a horrible thing to say, but I've actually said this to him before too. I think that even if there was an indiscretion at this point, like you used a hard boundary as someone's cheating on you, right? I've been cheated on. It destroyed me. I've also cheated on people. I think that if there was an indiscretion like that in the past, I might have said that's a deal breaker for me. A deal breaker, I think, is another way to talk about those boundaries that you say that are hard boundaries. It's not, oh, I don't mm-hmm. like when you get angry. You can't tell an angry person not to get angry. If anger, especially right. with men, sorry, men, but like you seem to have only one acceptable emotion that you've been socialized to have, which is anger. And I feel sorry that society has told men that they can't have sadness or guilt or shame or whatever, and that makes them weak. But like, if anger is your go-to and that's how you've been socialized to behave, and then I tell you, don't be angry, where's that getting me?
Yeah,
that's not your fault that's how people told you to be a man. I don't think that's being a man, but it's like, if that's your, how you were raised or how society pressured you into being or shaped you, like, it's, what is that expression? Like, shooting in the dark or something? I have no idea what the expression, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no point in me trying to fight what is, you know, if you love that person and you think you can find a way through it, I think you should try to do that. But I think what I was saying is that even if he cheated on me, like, I don't know that would be the same boundary that I had when I was single because I have children with this person.
I understand that.
You know what I mean? So I don't actually think mm-hmm. I would list cheating on me as a deal breaker. I think if he cheated on me, I would be like, well, how did we get here? You know, I would definitely be that way. I would definitely be angry. But I don't know if I would say, okay, I'm walking out the door. So that's where it gets really complicated. For me, at least.
Here is what I learned on the other side of marriage. That, have I told you about my red, yellow, green theory?
I think so.
Where it's like red, the reds are absolutely not.
Yes.
The yellows, we can talk about them. They're a no for now, but let's talk about them and see how we can come to a middle ground. And the greens are, I'm all in. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when you say that there is a gray area, it almost tends to leave that subject in the area of hopelessness. But when you put them on the red, yellow, green spectrum, it's where are we with this? Because honestly, if it's in the yellow spectrum, it might be a no for now, but let's agree to work on this together.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a powerful or empowering way to look at some of the hard conversations. And just right now, just for a status check for where we are deep into the backstory where it's times that we've helped each other set healthy limits because we're working on this in real time.
Yeah.
But when it's stuff that's in the yellow area where we don't necessarily agree, but let's talk about it. This is where you can say, I disagree with that in the moment. And it's an absolute yes or an absolute no for you. But let's bring in an unbiased party to help us come to a meeting of the minds on this. That's where you engage that third party. Or if it's a red, it might be a green for them and a red for you. Again, that's an opportunity to bring in a third party to say, let's talk about this and see if there's some flexibility on either side where we can come to a level ground, something that works in between for both of you. So even thinking about the conversation we had last night when we were having our business meeting, right? And we were saying, yeah, that's your thing. This is my thing. But let's kind of figure out something that allows both of us to be fully expressed, you know? And that is something that I want to do in my next relationship. I want to be able to say, hey, I see that this is a red for you. It's a green for me. And we are on two opposite ends of the spectrum. But I'd like to bring a third party in to help us understand each other better, or to be able to at least talk this out so that we can see what's going to work for both of us. But it's just communication. It's just being adult and being able to communicate so that you have an opportunity for something beautiful to blossom into something that's epic and world changing. You know,
I feel like we should break. That's my thought. I feel like we should break the third wall about what we were talking about, because it is really boundary related. So I think it kind of works in this discussion, and I like to just let people know what's happening. So yesterday, I was at Home Depot buying paint, and we were having a conversation about how Bettina wants me to take a photo. A photo of myself. And I was basically like, no, I prefer not to. And because we are unsure about how to proceed with social media presence, because neither of us do social media. And so I understand conceptually that there must be a photo of me out in the world that exists. But because I'm not, first of all, I don't like getting my photo taken. I don't take selfies as a general rule. And then if I were to get a photo of myself taken, here's what I look like right now. I have gray hair. I'm pale as hell because summertime has not arrived yet and I live in New Jersey. I have just gotten Mohs surgery on a skin cancer spot. So I have a big cut on my forehead with a huge blob of Vaseline on it currently. And I'm not wearing makeup and I'm wearing my like scrubby sweats and whatever. And like, so to have me transform myself into a version of myself that could ever be photographed would be, it feels like such a mountainous task, because not only, you know, am I so far from that, but also because I need the help of women who know how to do things in order to get me there. So I don't know what I would wear. I don't know which shirt goes with which pants, goes with which shoe. I own one bag. I don't really wear makeup. So it's, whereas Bettina is like, you know, saying things over the years that lead me to believe she likes to do these things. Like she'll say, you know, oh, I'm just going to, just give me one second. I'm going to put on my easy breezy face for today. So she has different makeup schemes. I wear eyeliner and mascara would be the most. I've never intentionally applied any type of foundation or concealer to my face in my life other than at a dance recital. And so it's a very intimidating thing. And also I have a huge resistance because of my own value system to being in a position where I'm being physically commodified as a woman. I have a real kickback to that in my mind because I hate everything regarding the objectification of women, and I feel really conflicted about it because women are incredibly beautiful, but at the same time, I don't feel comfortable being decorated in that way physically, you know? So it would be, so we were talking through how can we have a meeting in the middle, because it's a green light for Bettina. And then for me, I'm like, well, let me just hide in the background. And just, I was suggesting that I should have an avatar. And she was like,
a whole avatar.
She was like, well, how will that work when I'm there as me and you're someone who like,
100%
wears a mask or has an animated version of yourself.
Like, what the hell?
And I was like listening and she's like, yeah, no. And I'm like, well, what if we did this? And she's like, no, that's not going to work. So it was a really cool conversation, but we're just coming from such opposite places. And my boundary is I'm not going to be objectified in a way that I didn't consent to. How outrageous is that, you know? But how do I do that?
And so what I've been getting out of our conversations is that you definitely sit in the seat of feminism, and I definitely sit on the throne of femininity.
Oh, you get a throne and I get a seat? What's that about?
Did you see it?
No, you're right though, because you're sitting in a more ornate place. Like, I'm very plain Jane. You know?
But that being said, and not to diminish you in any way, you know how much I love you and your belief systems.
Yes.
But
I do, actually.
But so there is this difference. But instead of that being something that separates us, I want to figure out a way, and I know that there is a way. I want to figure out a way where both of us are 100% comfortable and 100% fully expressed.
And authentic and to ourselves.
Authentic. Like, I don't want to bring you out into the light and you're 100% uncomfortable in it. And I'm not going to allow you to drag me into the dark. So
you're
not? We're going to figure out something. I might be sitting on a park bench like, what was his name? Run, Forrest, run, like Forrest Gump, with my arm around an avatar. And that might be okay. Mm. You know what I mean? So we're just going to figure out what works for us. And but that is the conversation that I want to bring into all of my relationships, where I'm not imposing all of who I am on you in a way that's uncomfortable for you, and not allowing someone else's beliefs to be poured onto me and it makes me uncomfortable, where we both can find this space and create this space and hold space for each other and our own comfortabilities and make it work for us. And that is a place of growth that I've gotten to, because it used to be all about me, 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 me. And it's just not that way anymore.
Yeah. It makes me feel good both that I am defending my own value system, which is that I just find the objectification of women so problematic, regardless of whether the individual woman is wanting that or not. It's just that people are different. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I was talking to two of my best friends, and I was saying, oh, I just hate when I'm with guys who are like, they're so pushy and they're just like, you know, trying to hook up with you, and they're just like, you're saying no, and they're just being so pushy and they're trying to like push their way in. And both of the women I was talking to were like, oh, I love that. It's like, wow. Like, so it's not, there's no one way to be. Like, that's such an incredible turnoff for me. And in fact, it's like sort of threatening almost to me. And then they're here saying the exact opposite thing as that. So I think what's so cool about your value system is I have, you know, this value system, these things are important to me. You have these other things that you're drawn to and that you're important, that are important to you, but we're really respectful of each other's differences. And I think that that enables us to enter into a relationship where we know that we're at least trying to be respectful of each other's boundaries. But I think if I didn't know that I had that value, what I would have done is I would have just gone along with what you wanted and been like, oh yeah, let's do a whole photo shoot. And then I would have been really, really uncomfortable. And then I would have, like I said in the beginning, gotten kind of a resentment against you, even though I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And I find that I just looked at the thing and it was like an hour. How did an hour go by?
I know. Good conversation, honey.
I was shocked by the timestamp. But now that I've done all this work and looking at my values, it actually does make having boundaries and also just in general making choices about what serves me, because I'm a firm believer, like, especially as a mom, like, I actually serve myself first. I don't serve my kids first, because I can't pour from an empty cup. So it matters. Obviously, I'm going to get up with my kid if they wake up in the middle of the night, whatever, whatever. But it's like, I have to make sure that I am the best self that I can possibly be, because it hurts my kids for me not to be. You know what I mean? And I came into this believing that I need to make sure, you know, cliche, I need to put on my oxygen mask before them. But I think So family values is something that was not on my original values list 5 years ago that I've had to move onto the list and then move up the list very painfully and very slowly because I wasn't raised to have family values. It sounds so crazy, but I just wasn't. Like, our family was siloed. We did our own thing. That's how I grew up. So with this family values, it actually makes my life so much more organized when it does come to boundaries. So as far as the power of no, I was talking to my friend, the one who always gets what she wants, let's just say, the one who bought the waterfront property at 20, it was 28, I think, not 30. She was just telling me the other day, she's like, I love saying no. She just relishes it. And she just does it in such a cool way. Like, she was telling me that she was canceling on me the morning of, but the way that she did it made me respect her so much because she was just like,
you couldn't even be mad.
I couldn't because of the way she was like dancing with it. She was just like, I see how you feel. And I totally understand how you feel. It's just that I'm tired and I'm going to this chili festival later and I mismanaged my time. Like, just her openness and her communication regarding how she was going to do exactly what she wanted made me respect her more. And she's kind of my role model in a lot of ways. But it is easier when your values are aligned because now, it used to be that I would feel such a fear of missing out whenever I didn't go somewhere. I would think, well, if I stay home that night because of whatever reason, maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm depressed, maybe I'm whatever, I would then be overtaken by this FOMO of like, well, what if that was really going to be such a great experience? And what if I made the wrong decision and I should have gone? And I would just be debilitated by that. And now I often just think of it in terms of, you know, how close of a relationship does it have to my family? My family has to be the center of my life. It's not my whole life, but I do aspire to make it the center of my life, and it's moving in that direction. And so if something is happening that's like way outside of my realm, it doesn't rank. So it's easier now for me to say, I'm going to push this thing off. Or it just might be that I need to protect myself or my energy. Like, it was a hard work week or whatever, or just I'm tired. Like, my sponsor really drilled it into me that it's okay just for me to say I'm tired. So sometimes my instinct is to say like, oh, well, I'm sick. It's like, you're not sick. Why do you feel like you have to lie? You know, I don't have to lie. How about just I don't want to? I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just want to sit on my couch and watch 10 episodes of Love Island. You know, and that's it. And that's what I'm going to do. So Love Island UK, not US.
So that you said Love Island UK, US.
Always British accents. You need the subtitles. Try it. It's so good.
You're hilarious.
So good.
But I want to say how that comment has brought us right into our life focus section, which is how saying no enables better yeses. Because even with the boundaries conversation, the thing that I did not mention was how powerful it is to be, you know, definitive about whatever the decision is, because when you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else, and vice versa. When you're saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else. And that was something I used to be in exactly that same place where I would cancel on an event. I was this girl where the idea of joining you in a month at cocktails at 4 o'clock on Thursday was such a great idea because I miss you so much and we have great conversations until that Thursday comes 4 weeks later. And then I'm like, oh my God,
too much.
I don't feel like tackling my hair. I don't feel like putting on something cute. Yep. I don't feel like putting on a whole face of makeup today. I just don't feel it today. And I would cancel like, oh, I have this business client that I'm still working on and blah, blah, blah,
you
blah, blah.
Lie.
Today, it's the truth. Like, I'm that way with God. Like, literally, I study my Bible and I'm just like, when I'm not into it and I have to rewind the video a couple of times, I know I'm not 100% present. If I'm not 100% into it, I'm just not going to do it because I want to be, my phone is on do not disturb so much of my day because whatever it is I'm into, I want to be 100% present for that. And if I'm doing doing something that doesn't have 100% of my attention, or I'm too tired for, or my mind keeps floating to something else, I'm going to stop.
I love
so
that.
So the good thing is setting these boundaries and being able, it's being in tune with yourself, though. It's having a respect and an honor for yourself, your mental space, how you feel physically. It's just being in tune. And when you're in tune in that way, you can say, I'm not 100% into this and I don't want to do this anymore. And now you can have those honest conversation that says, girl, it's Wednesday. I know a month ago I told you, and you start to respect other people's time, because now who I am is I would not cancel with you the day of. I'm going to cancel with you the day before and say, look, I looked at my Thursday, and even though I have a block of time that I set aside for you, I'm tired and I really would love to use that time to get some extra rest. So can I take you out on Saturday morning just for breakfast for an hour or whatever? You know what I mean? And you make it up to your friend. If it's a relationship that you're that's important for you to do, then you make up for that. But be honest and be 100% in whatever you're doing. What are your thoughts on that? The no's, you know, having saying no, enabling you to say yes.
Yeah, it's making my head go in a bunch of different directions. I still am thinking that if said friend got really upset with me, I would still have a really hard time sitting with that. Like if I said, listen, it's just really important to me that I just have to rest. If they were like, you're being so disrespectful, it's the day before, I was really looking forward to this. Like I think I would still have like struggle with that. I don't like for anybody to be upset. And I try to carry other people's emotions sometimes. It's just my tendency as like a codependent, you know?
Have you read Codependent No More?
No, I have this book, this daily readings book called The Language of Letting Go, that's been so helpful to me because I didn't think I was codependent because I'm not like a doormat personality. Like I like fight every person tooth and nail, and I'm very confrontational. Like I do need that little bit to process, but I am quite confrontational. But I'm codependent because I'm a codependent in like a backdoor way where it's like I'm really affected by other people's energies. And my one friend, she just said, you need to understand that you're not God. And maybe, you know, that person needed a lesson in being disappointed. Like you're not in control of everything. So it's like that control thing that I have that makes me want to make everybody never be sad or disappointed, you know, and nobody'd ever be hurt and stuff. And so I still have that. And then the other thing, I don't know why my head's going here, but I was thinking about sometimes I can also struggle with when two different values are conflicting. So there's the value of, you know, I have this one friend who's always just struggling, but struggling in a way that she is wanting to blame everybody else for all her problems, just the blame game constantly. And I have this value that was always in my original top five, which is compassion. But then, like we're saying, I have that value of like sometimes I don't want to be drained. I don't want to be taken hostage, you know? And there's a really strong pattern of this hostage taking that I have to be in the right energy space to, like, I have to be in my most ideal compassionate self in order to even field a phone call from this person. I have to be like in the giving tree zone, you know? If I'm even remotely disturbed in my own life, like I have to avoid that phone call. So I think, I've never heard of those no's. What was it? The no's enable yeses? What was it that you said?
How saying no enables better yeses.
Yeah. So I think the way I'm thinking of it is, when I say no, I'm not actually willing to be taken hostage today. The yes that I might be saying to myself is I'm going to spend my time doing something that is restorative to me. You know, I don't always have to be putting myself into a position of sacrificing for others. I can actually, you know, it's just as important for me to fill my cup, and maybe that no, if I use my time wisely, because I really do think my time is my most precious resource that I am, you know,
absolutely.
Like I said, I don't think I'm doing well with time, but I am recognizing that I should spend my time and be more intentional with how I spend my time. So if I can sort of create this space through saying no to do something that is more valuable and more life-affirming, then that is a win, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm interpreting that in, I think I'm still being introduced to that saying, so I'm not sure if I'm like fully comprehending it yet, but it's food for thought. I need to bring it home and think, like, sort of let that marinate more for me, I think. I like the concept.
Yeah, I love it. And this part of the conversation has been amazing because I've gotten some personal tools and I hope I was able to share something with you that you can incorporate to help us grow even in these areas, at these ages, in these relationships, so that there's more depth and beauty in the relationships that are important to us, you know?
I think I just figured it out based on that, what you just said. I think it's like, the saying no to either push the thing away that's not good for you or just to create the space for the thing that's good for you, it enables mm-hmm. you to better show up as yourself. Mm-hmm. So instead of me, you know, you're now violating my non-existent boundary, so now I'm going to be really lost in thought and up in my head. It's like, no, I'm going to do the thing that will prevent that state of agitation so that I can then more fully show up as my best self moving forward and give to the world and give energetically something positive instead of getting taken down by my own stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
And I feel like it boils down to respect at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Respect for yourself and respect for the other person. And I feel that the right people, just like how your friend canceled and you could not, like, the right person will respect because they hear the truth in what you're saying. Like, hey, I would love to come and hang out with you. I don't have the mental capacity to do it this week. I've been heavy lifting all week. And that time I have this block and I want to use it to veg out. It does not mean I don't love you.
Yeah. Or what if they're right though? Like, what if they're like, listen, you're being disrespectful. This is the third time you've done this to me. Then I need to kind of be like, okay, this is your boundary, you know? So it's like a dance.
Yeah. But not only that, if it's the third time you're doing it, do you really value time
with
that person?
Call me out because then there's something I'm not seeing.
Are you managing your time well? You know,
the answer is no. If you're asking me that,
either highlights the conversation, either highlights an area for improvement for you, or can give an opportunity for that person to respect you more because they hear the honesty and the authenticity in your request.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's an opportunity. Just being authentic and honest is just an opportunity to, you know, bring your best self to your relationship. And then that person, think about it. Think about how you can't wait to spend time with your friend the next time you see her.
Yeah.
You know,
because the stream is clear. There's no resentments. There's mm-hmm. no like toxic mm-hmm. buildup. You told me one time, I'm going to give you a little quote of yours that you're probably not going to remember. But you said to me one time, it was actually relating to this friend who used to talk down to me when she was drunk, who I started dating her. And you said, mm-hmm. there's a trail of, I don't remember if I could, I'll have to find the exact words. You said something like there's a trail of oil leading from the friendship into the relationship. And you were so right. Mm-hmm. Like there was just this, like this undealt with energy that was polluting mm-hmm. our energy sphere, basically. So you mm-hmm. don't want that. If you can avoid having that, like get it out, hash it out, do whatever you need to do. Clean up the stream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it can't be done, that's not your person.
Right.
And I know that a lot of my stuff ends with, oh, I'm out of here. It sucks. but if you notice, I hold on to the right ones because I want people to respect, like, this is a problem for me. Yeah. And this is, I can see anything that we do going forward is going to be polluted by the history of this. So if we can't fix this, then going forward is going to be really ugly. I don't want to see us get there. So how do we clean this mm-hmm. up? And if you absolutely are not interested in that,
not that I can
this
do
is
about
my
it.
Time to exit yeah. stage That's the last
straw.
I love you, but I love you enough to leave you.
Oh, Bettina. That's what it is. Is it's like there really are sometimes like those times where it's like this can't be saved. Like I've made these boundary requests, but it's ultimately there is a thing where it's your decision and then it's how I respond to that. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you can't save them all. Your boundary requests. Mm-hmm. So it's also like I've made this boundary request that you refuse to honor, but I've been doing my work to honor yours, and this is just not fair to me.
Yeah.
You know? So I would never dishonor you in that way. So why does it keep happening to me? Do you not care about me?
And then where's my value of self-respect? And am I willing to live by it, even if it means the fear that accompanies and the grief possibly that would accompany losing this relationship? You know?
Absolutely.
Am I willing to sort of walk through that in order to honor my own values? And I hope that the answer is always yes, because I really do think you need that that matching of the values with the actions to have integrity.
I agree. Okay, so we have to get right into these recipes because, honey, we have been going and going.
3 minutes
so
left.
Go with your boundary bowl. The boundary bowl is a meal
ridiculous.
With distinct elements that complement without overriding each other. So what's your boundary bowl?
Oh my gosh, I forgot it was
I like the idea
boundary
of that
bowl.
It's a boundary bowl, baby.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this because I knew what recipe I wanted to talk about when you said boundary bowl, something with distinct elements that go together. Mm-hmm. But the problem I'm having, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, is I just haven't found my perfect recipe for it yet. So I'm going to do what you did with those Bedia tacos, where I'm going to tell you what I'm imagining.
my fake Bedia oxtail tacos that I haven't
that you
made
didn't
yet.
Actually give us the recipe for. You painted a beautiful picture of an idea of a recipe. So you can find a million recipes of this online, and I have. It's just that I can't say with certainty my exact recipe because I haven't found it yet. I make it regularly. I still haven't found like the one that I'm in love with. But here's what it is.
Okay.
It's a Thai peanut bowl. I love, and you can really just do this in any number of ways. So what I like is I like to do either like a rice noodle. You can also just do a regular rice. You can also do lettuce. I enjoy both sometimes. I like to do the noodle, like the cold noodle and the lettuce. What I put onto there.
Interesting.
Yeah, is I kind of section it out. So I'll just put like a pile of cucumbers, a pile of carrots. I really love red onion. You can go jalapeno if you're feeling a little fusion-y. You might want some radishes. I enjoy radishes. I like tofu because I like to do just a veggie bowl. If I'm feeling fancy, I might fry up that tofu and make it like some type of sesame ginger tofu. I might just throw like a sauce of some kind on there if I don't feel like doing something. Like it can be whatever. You take whatever vegetables you like. I typically just do carrots. I do avocado. 4 to 5 sections of whatever is striking my fancy vegetable-wise. The most important thing is the peanut sauce. That's the vegetables are really just a method to deliver as much, and the noodles and everything is a method to deliver as much peanut sauce as you possibly can to yourself. Mm-hmm. So the peanut sauce, it's always better in the Thai restaurant, isn't it? I've tried to recreate it a million times. I know it.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
It has peanut
oh my
butter.
Gosh.
I know it has soy sauce or tamari. I know it has something sweet. So I've seen maple syrup. I've seen agave. I've seen brown sugar. I know that it has sometimes rice wine vinegar in it. I know that it has garlic and ginger because all the best things do. But the problem is I just don't know what proportions they should be. So I've made some summer rolls and some spring rolls, and I tend to just sort of eyeball it. Like I'll start with a little bit of peanut butter. I'll mix in some soy sauce. I'll add something sweet, the garlic and ginger. I'll sort of use like a garlic press to get like really fine in there. But I'm not going to specify. Maybe someone can tell me what's the best proportions of all these things. Do I want the tamari?
Yes,
do I want
us.
The more authentic Asian ingredients? Because it's never coming out for me the same as the restaurant. It's the same thing with that ginger sauce that you can get at the hibachi restaurants, like that ginger sauce, and say, and Japanese restaurants too, that comes like on the salad. How do you make that? Does it have ketchup? I doubt it. But every recipe I look online says add ketchup, you know? So it's just the bowl that I love. I'm not settled yet on the recipe. I try a different one every time. It's one I haven't like really landed with yet. So that's my recipe. It's a Thai peanut bowl. You can also use those bean sprouts. It's just every way you do it is delicious as long as you make a good peanut sauce.
Oh, well,
and crushed peanuts. Sorry, crushed peanuts go on the top. I'm done. And scallions, bye.
Okay, so for me, let me tell you what I struggle with. There are too many textures in this meal for me.
You could simplify it. Just do three different things. You can do bell peppers, red onions, and carrots, and then you'll do chicken.
And are all the vegetables sautéed or are they raw?
No, they're raw.
Yes, a lot of texture.
Really? It's just three vegetables now that I've simplified it down to for you.
But the noodles throw me off. So I have these crunchy vegetables and noodles. Yeah, I could do it with lettuce. But I couldn't do it with rice or noodles because there's the soft and the crunchy,
you don't
and that's
like that?
Too much going on for
really?
Me.
Really? Oh,
I don't.
Like it.
I don't.
Like
mm-mm.
It. Huh. You don't like mm-mm. soft and crunchy together?
But I'm going to try it. I don't like soft and crunchy
together. I'll make a simpler version with more consistent textures and I'll send you it.
Okay, send it to me. I want to share with you right here, right before I share my recipe. And we're walking parallel lives again because mine is like a veggie bowl.
Well, it's a boundary bowl.
But I want to share that one of our favorite listeners made your chicken casserole yesterday and texted me. So, again, breaking the third wall. we have people that have been, you know, faithfully listening to these early episodes before we've actually released them.
We're in
them,
a cocoon.
Just to make sure that
we haven't released anything yet.
We're in a whole cocoon and they are loving us, honey. It's been, the responses have been overwhelmingly good. I love that. But so there are some people that have, you know, self-proclaimed themselves as our favorite listeners. Mm-hmm. And this one's one of them. And she sent me the picture. She happened to be listening to an episode while she was shopping for her family yesterday. And she said, I'm going to make this recipe. And she sent me a text, a picture of all of the ingredients. And she said they loved your chicken casserole.
Chicken enchilada casserole. You cannot go wrong with that.
The chicken enchilada. She said it was so good.
But it's Cynthia's chicken enchilada casserole. It's not mine. It's just a delicious.
Okay, Cynthia. Yeah. We love it, Cynthia. Thank you.
You cannot go wrong with that. I gave that to my other friend, my favorite Zumba teacher friend, and like, oh my God, she makes it for her family all the time. It just goes right into your recipe rotation. You can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah.
And she love she it. Is one of my top favorites too, and I'm hanging on like on the edge of my seat whenever you tell me that you have updates from her.
Yes, because she's so amazing. And she's so enthusiastic she about her work. So I love it. But my recipe for today is, so sometimes I love vegetables. I don't generally always want vegetable without meat, but I love vegetable. But for my boundary bowl, I'd like to do a veggie bowl. And so I can do veggies. I like a lot of vegetables. So I buy, when I go to the grocery store, half my money is spent in the produce section, period. Hard stop, right? So I have a lot of leafy greens. I have a lot of color in my refrigerator at any given time. So I'm going to cut up tomato, mushroom. I'm going to put some, open up a can of black beans.
What kind of mushroom?
I'm going to.
Bella,
so
shiitake?
I'm not, I can do shiitakes. I actually prefer them. I will also cut a sweet potato and roast it in the oven. Like just put a little bit of avocado oil and put some salt and pepper. Really, really simple. Roast that in the oven. But I'll saute the vegetables in olive oil. So I have onion. I have bell pepper. I have, you know, like I said, the mushroom, tomato, all the things, right? I just love color. And one of the things that I'm trying to get away from, I will get away from this year, is white rice.
Really?
I want to get away from white rice this year because I am a rice eater, have always been, but I'm just bothered by the enriched rice. And so, and I have great experiences with cauliflower rice. So this recipe, I would saute it, have all my vegetables sauteed, and just season it with a little bit of, it depends on if I want heat, but I'll season it with a little bit of Cajun seasoning, some Himalayan sea salt, some pepper, and I'll put some red pepper flakes because I just enjoy heat, but I also double my heat because on this, so you have all the vegetables, you saute it, you put it in rice. I'll cut up some fresh avocado slices because I'm just a fan. And you have your warm sauteed potato. And then I make a cilantro lime dressing. Yum. And what's in that? Because I'm a fan of dressings.
Yeah, me too.
On
who isn't?
Anything. And I'm becoming a fan of making my own. So my cilantro lime dressing has avocado because I'm just a fan. I love, for years we lived in a yard that had avocado. And I feel like I did not, when I had that tree
in
my yard, I did not know the value of avocados that I do today. And I just,
they're like $3 each.
Yes. And we gave them away for free. I'm sure the people were selling those avocados because it was just a fruitful tree. They would eat them and sell them because people would literally come in our yard with baskets.
Really?
So, so you can do a half an avocado. I just want mine to be avocado heavy. So I use a whole avocado, maybe a smaller and medium one. I use Greek yogurt, like a half a cup of Greek yogurt. I add water because I use so much avocado.
You really have to. Avocado is very, very tricky.
It's thick.
It's so thick, so, you have no idea when you blend it. Like
a quarter cup of the Greek yogurt, I'm sorry, half a cup of water. So you use some, I cut up cilantro because if we talk about me and my springiness, the cilantro gives this recipe a springiness along with garlic. I'm a fan of garlic paste over garlic cloves today because I like the punginess
of
garlic.
I've been using that. It's good.
Some Himalayan sea salt and some lime juice. And you put that in your food processor and it just makes, and you just play with your water depending on the consistency that you want. But this over those vegetables, and I just go ham because when you're making your own sauces and dressing, I feel like you can use more because it doesn't have all the excess sodium and preservatives that you get when you're buying it in the store. So I just really go heavy on my dressing for these vegetables, and it's so delectable. It's very light. You can get full. You can get satisfied without being heavy full. And so this is my boundary bowl. Like just salt, great sauteed vegetables, and with light seasoning and a great dressing.
I'm making that tonight. I have because I've never tried cauliflower rice before, but I got some at Trader Joe's last week and it's in the freezer.
Oh, you're going to have fun.
And I have sweet potato. And what else did you say was in there?
A mushroom, tomato,
I'll just improvise.
Onion, sliced avocado, absolutely. But all your vegetables, even kale and spinach. I like to put more spinach than kale, but when I'm sauteing my vegetables, I will put two big handfuls of spinach in there because I like to see the colors, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll do my saute and put a little bit of seasoning on it, but let the dressing be the star of the show for this.
Amazing.
One.
And also, I did make your mango pico last night. It was absolutely delicious. It was also the star of the show. I used it in my new dish. I sent you a picture. It was beautiful.
You love the dish.
I loved the dish, and I loved the dish.
Why was the dish so cute for you?
It is adorable.
I loved it. And I'm glad it's functional for your house.
It is. It's perfect.
So yeah, this has been another amazing episode of What's the Temp. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We are so happy to host you.
We love each and every one of you, and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it.
Be great on purpose. Have a great week. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Stuck in the past watching videos of us. I have been trying to get rid of your stuff, but voices in my head are telling me to stop. It's all I have left, all I have of you. Thought I was more than a body to hold, baby. I wanted you, wanted us to be something more. I was so sure, I let my guard down for you. Baby, why'd you have to love me like that? I gave you my heart and you tore it apart. Don't know why you had to hurt me like that. Cause now I'm messed up, drinking nonstop, just trying to forget you and everything we said. But I can't seem to get these thoughts out of my head. Baby, why'd you have to love me?